Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Brilliant. Let's stay standing. We want to honour the word. We want to honour Eric, who's going to come and bring the word. And it's great to have you with us this morning, Eric. Brilliant. And we're going to be encouraged. We're going to be challenged. We're going to be inspired. It's going to be full on this morning. Is that all right? Is that all right? Come on, let's welcome Eric as he comes to bring the word this morning.
All right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hello. Amen. Hey, boy, you guys are pretty people. I sure miss being with you. You know, when we're not with you, we think about you. And I think the last time I was here was April, and we did the crosswalk at Easter. And people in London still remember us. I think we're starting to be known in London. And but, you know, since I've been with you last, we've been all over the globe and walking with the cross and preaching and praying for people and watching God be God. And I'm really happy that my father could be with me. And just raise your hands. And you know, I was adopted 3 times, but he said people kept bringing me back. And but it's a real honor to have him, you know, just be probably my number one encourager and supporter. You should be afraid to go out on the streets with me. Never wanted to do it. And then he came over and did a London crosswalk with me. And now he's done many, 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 many. And he'll call me on the phone and say, "I got revelation for you." And I said, "Oh, wow, I've received that." And so that's pretty wonderful when your dad becomes a great encourager for what you do in the Lord. And I'm so privileged to be standing in this pulpit and worshiping with you guys this morning. And I thank God for Kingdom Faith. I think, you know, where would England be or the nations be without Kingdom Faith? And I know throughout the years, faces come and go, and many of you don't know who I am, but I was a part of, you know, this church for 8.5 years, and still am, still family, and still called to Britain. And I'm so thankful for, you know, Pastor, that that day I walked in your office, and I didn't know which end was up. I just knew I was supposed to be here because God sent me from a cornfield in Ohio. And here we still are. And so I love you very much. And so thankful for your life. And yesterday was an amazing day out, probably. I don't like to evaluate crosswalks, but I think it was probably one of the best crosswalks we've ever had. And I think it has more to do with season than it actually has to do with, oh, we just did something right. I didn't know that you guys had such weather. My wife on the way out said, "You better take your coat, and do you have hat and gloves?" And you know, when you're in Florida and you go to the airport, you're not thinking about other places. You're thinking about 83 degrees and palm trees. So she sticks my hat and gloves into my bag. And then I get to the airport and my bag's too heavy, so I have to take my leather coat out. So I got to have my coat on the plane. Well, thank God, God had everything ordained, because I had to fly into Heathrow, park on the tarmac, come down the stairs, get on a bus. Now, most of your countrymen who came to Orlando wearing their shorts, not ready for this kind of weather. And I have my coat on, my hat, and my gloves. And Jesus is looking out for me. I said, "Thank you, Lord." And then, you know, the snow is just dumping down. And I'm like, "Lord, we got a Friday and a Saturday crosswalk. And, you know, we got 20,000 tracks that, you know, it's a miracle if we do this in 2 days, you know." But but then I realized, you know, Friday, we just can't do this. You know, you're not used to driving in this kind of weather. And I'm not used to being around people not used to driving in this kind of weather. And so we just canceled it. We just thought, you know, I just had the peace of God. They said, "Just trust me. I'll do in 1 day what you would try to do in 2. And And then God moved. I mean, you know, the first thing he did, he canceled the Carfax thing. That was great. No, I was just joking about that. Because he gave me a big team. I said, thank you, Lord, you love me. And then, no, but that's not doctrine there. But I said, Lord, I do receive that. And they can sing the carols maybe next week. But I need a team. And, but you know, all of a sudden, the one day the weather is just perfect in London. In central London. Yesterday, I couldn't ask for a better day in London in December. I mean, to think that it was 12 inches of snow below zero the day before. And here we are in the middle of London. People are out. They don't have to wear gloves. And the presence of God and the wonderful team of people from the church and the students. We had a team from Norwich come down, team from Berkshire come over. We had about 36 people. You know, we've had teams like that before. And we're thankful for it. But, you know, I've never been able to do 17,500 tracks in one day. And, you know, driving up, I just said, Lord, I'm not here to try to get all the tracks out. I'm just here to just flow with you. I really believe your hand is on this. And I'm just happy to be here. And it was amazing because coming back, we're out of tracks. We were out of tracks by the time we hit Trafalgar trying to get back. And there were plenty of people. We just didn't have any more tracks left. And we had broken through some kind of barrier. Now, I was sitting down last night thinking, you know, when we started this in 2001, I did like 4 or 5 day crosswalks in London. I was younger and more robust then. And we could only maybe get out 15,000 tracks in the space of a week or 3 or 4 or 5 days. So what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to help you understand what's happening. It's not about us. It's something in the climate, in the realm of the spirit. And I really believe that God changed the weather for, not for us, but for the 17,500 people from the nations. It was the world. I didn't see a lot of British people compared to the nations. And people walking and translating to their group what it says on that tract. We see it all the time. People walk by us and then something invisible turns them. And they come back and take a tract and walk on. We hit a place on Regent Street where, you know, I preach the gospel on the streets. You know, that's my calling. A lot of Christians aren't comfortable with that. And God bless you. And God bless me and God bless everybody, especially the person sitting in front of you. No, just kidding. You know, a lot of people aren't comfortable with that. But there's something about God sitting on the throne looking and seeing the eternal destiny of people. That hell is a real place. It is a real, and there are people there now. People who refused, people who procrastinated, who thought, I've got time, and then found out something about life, it's fickle. And they're there. Not because God is a mean God. God put this thing into motion and he told Adam and Eve, he said, this is my word, do not break it. It's the word that forged the eternities. And this is my word to you, do not touch that tree. For when you touch it, you shall die. In dying, you shall die. And every one of those children they gave birth to, death came upon them. And he's been faithful to every generation. No man will point their finger at God. Amen. Well, I just tried to understand it. No, you didn't try hard enough. The Spirit of God knows the hearts that truly are open and begin to stir themselves to find him. Sometimes God just reveals himself enough and watches how people respond. And they may never get another chance. Yeah. because from his throne, he knows what he said. But people, for some reason on this planet, get consumed with the planet. And he's God. No man will ever say, you're not a God of love. No, that will never be heard because the throne is drowned out with, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe upon him, that's his contract with all men,
amen,
should not perish but have everlasting life. We found a place to preach that was really good. And we preached more yesterday than thank God I'm talking to you today. I mean, I just said, we're just preach. Because I felt we're plowing against a hardness. And John 3:16 is a wonderful plow. And I realized there was a presence. It may have been an angel. I don't know. It's not important for me. But there was a presence of God that came down. And people, we noticed, would get stuck in a place and listen and not move until the preaching stopped. People coming out of stores to listen. One little girl, she's about 6 or 8 years old, walking with her father and probably uncle. She was about 8 to 10 feet away from me. When I started to preach, she turned and they couldn't move her. The father was trying to move her. Now, I don't know if she just was strong or there was an angel that had his hand on her head. But she would not move until the preaching stopped. The father and the uncle had to stand there. And I'm blowing it out. I mean, I'm not so quiet. And I know they were getting spit on. But that girl wasn't going to move. It's bad when people in London walk by the street preacher and open their umbrella because it's raining horizontally. I'm trying to get them saved and baptized with one preach. I showed a video once to my wife of some ministry in Leeds, and I'm talking to this girl, and I spit right on her head. She was drunk. It didn't matter. But my wife is watching. She goes, oh, Eric, how could you do that? I said, well, it just goes as part and parcel of the call. What am I trying to say? God is calling the nations. London is a place of calling. London calling. It's a place where the winds of God come through, a place in the earth where nations can come to, and churches like this, where we hook together, we're able in the winds of His Spirit intersect the world. And seed is going everywhere. People say, I've read this and read this and read this. Help me to understand it. Well, it's easy. What you need to understand is what the Spirit of God is doing in you right now. The Lord spoke to me. He said, this seed is going to go into nations. And one little tract can go into a nation and open the door for the wind of the Spirit. For the wind blows where it desires. No man understands it, but God's Spirit does. Men are like grass, and the Spirit of God is blowing across the grass, here today, gone tomorrow. What is that saying? God's Spirit is holy. And men in their unholy state, they cannot live with the presence of God continually blowing past them. Even though they may not see God, God's presence and His Spirit is moving across the nations. And because of men's sinfulness, that spirit of holiness is working against you. Not you, but the nations. They don't realize it. And that's why he sends preachers to begin to bring an understanding to the winds of God. I remember when I was 6 years old, I was at home alone. Not home alone, but in a room alone. My parents used to leave me alone a lot. And I just happened to be in the TV room alone. And with a hot iron. And no. I was just in the television room alone. I turned on the television. And there, I was flipping through the stations, and there was a televangelist named Ernest Angley. You never heard of him, probably, but he was a man probably from somewhere in the southern parts of the United States with a real, what we call, homey accent, funny accent, and he had a healing anointing on him. And he would call people up, and mainly deaf people. He had a real gift for deaf people. And he would pray for over their ear and say, you know, say baby. Just like that. Say baby. And they go, baby. You go, say baby. And so the comedians on the television would always make fun of him because they didn't understand the power of God. It was a real ministry, but they didn't understand him. That's fine. Well, here I am, six years old, and there he is preaching. And all of a sudden, he's not ministering to people. He starts reading, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And as he began to go through that passage, something happened. I didn't see Ernest Angley, the guy with the funny accent. I didn't see the television. All of a sudden, all I could see was that Jesus was at the door. And I was so moved by the Holy Spirit, I ran into the front room, opened the front door. Of course, no one was there in the natural. But I said, "Jesus, you can come in here." I closed it. I ran back in there. When I did it again, Ernest, I don't know what else he preached while I was gone. But then he went right back to that scripture. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So overwhelmed. I went back to the front door. Not because I didn't believe Jesus. I just wanted Jesus to know, "I'm not closing any door to you." Why? There was a divine moment. The Spirit of God began to blow into my life. And that's when I was born again. And see, men get these opportunities. Maybe not always so dramatic, but it's always enough for a reply.
Amen.
And no man will point their finger at God and say, "You didn't do enough for me."
Amen.
You won't get that close. He's righteous and his judgments are true. Beryl, one of our team members from the church here, she said, "Brother Eric," she said, "I've been on many crosswalks, but yesterday I intersected some people and they really wanted to hear my testimony. I never was able to give my testimony like that." And she was so overwhelmed with joy. I said, Beryl, you were called to be on that team. Now let's just think, if you hadn't gone, the spot you were standing in would have been void. And the people that had a divine destiny of God that day would have walked right through that spot ordained by God and kept walking and never had entered into what God had planned. What am I saying? I think your life has meaning. I think there is a divine purpose and an importance to your life. There are people who need you. And you'll find yourself in these divine intersections where the Spirit of God just happens to put you and boom. Oh. And the wind will blow. And you know what? It's not you that those people see. They're listening to you. But the Spirit of God comes down on them. And they're hearing Jesus. Amen. It's time to reach the lost. It's always been time to reach the lost. But when the church mainly doesn't do it, then you say it's time. And you know, that's not a condemnation thing. That's a joy thing. I said that's a joy thing. I laid in bed last night. I said, Jesus, I feel like I lived. I said, if I died or you just came back, hey, I feel like this flesh and blood had purpose. And I feel good. I was just sitting in bed. I said, I don't know if I sleep tonight. I'm just really feeling good. Why? Because I felt like my life was used to help other people. And when you get out there and you see the masses of people and that hardness on them, they go home to a home that's empty of the presence of God. And you just say, Jesus, help me. Help me to be like Ernest Angley. That pre-recorded television program wasn't even live. Isn't that foolish? A guy with a funny accent on a pre-recorded television program. I turned it on and boom. It's called the booms of God. Boom. When God puts his finger on you, boom. You're not going to point at a man. You're not going to point your finger at God. Best thing to do is flow with him. Say, Jesus Christ, I receive you as my Lord. I receive you as my Savior. Now, that wasn't the sermon I came to preach to you. You have your Bible? Let's go real quick. I left my specs at home. Pastor Clive, let me use his. I look good, don't I? People on the internet are going, Pastor Clive's up there now, but he sounds funny. Got a speech impediment. What's wrong with that guy? Oh, he's American. Turn to the book of Colossians real quick. Verse 16 of chapter 1. I'm going to run through this. You know, I want to know Jesus. I want to know him. You know, in praise and worship today, I felt like we were in the throne room and Jesus done stepped out of the glory of the throne and started preaching and we were just picking up on something. Verse 16, for by him were all things created. That are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem. I hate to disturb your Christmas songs. He was before Bethlehem. Before the planet was, he was already standing out there in the eternities, working a plan. Then by the power of the Holy Spirit, Somehow the Holy Spirit, wow, he's not the third part of the watered down part of the Trinity. He is God. I believe that he looks like Jesus. He ain't Casper the Friendly Ghost. A cloud just hovering over the eternities. I believe he has legs. I believe he has eyes. I believe he has a nose. But in his power, all of the universe cannot contain him. He is everywhere. He knows everything. He is God. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe that angel came into Mary shaking a little bit, thinking, I've been given this message and I am not worthy to deliver it. That Almighty God is going to come out of the heavens and come into a virgin. He that created me is going to become one of them. And Mary said, how's this going to happen? And the angel said, very reverently, he said, the Holy Spirit. I don't think he just went, the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about a friendly ghost. We're talking about God. And he's been close to that throne to see the operations of heaven and the power, the thunders, the lightnings, and the voices. I believe he bows his head and receives that word, though he may not even believe that this could happen. Why would God want to become one of them? Yes, sir, I will deliver that message. One angel came to Zechariah. Zechariah didn't believe him. And you know what he said? He said, I am Gabriel who stands before God. Whew. He got attitude. You know us people are foolish with our little unbeliefs, doubts, and things that we do. And yet God is so compassionate. I believe Zechariah got a little straight. He got a chiropractic adjustment. His hair sticking up on the back of his head. Couldn't speak. The Holy Spirit's going to come on you. The power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. This what's going to be birthed in you is going to be called this, the Most High God, the Son of the Most High. She said, do it to me. Here I am. And here he is born by the power of the hoverings of God. He didn't begin in Bethlehem, but he became one of us. He walked the sandy shores of the Galilee, healing, delivering, and raising the dead. When the storm-tossed sea was too much for the disciples, he that stood out in the midst of nothing, creating all things, walked on the top of a storm-tossed sea, demonstrating, I am God. But I want to take you to one verse. So much we can preach off of this. John chapter 17. He became one of us because he wanted to. Understand that. He became one of us because he wanted to.
Yep, that's it. Come on.
Because he loves you.
Right.
You're not a face in the crowd. You're the face he's looking at.
Amen.
I don't know how he does that. In John chapter 17, verse 5, I love this, it's one of my most favorite. He says, now, O Father, glorify thou me with your own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. All of a sudden, Jesus is beginning to sense, I want to get back up there. Not just as I was, but now I'm a man. And Father, now I'm a man, but now glorify me with yourself, with the glory I had with you before the world was, as a man.
Amen.
Hey, you got hope. You got help. Because a man now sits as God. God became man, sitting at the right hand for you. He knows what you feel like. He was already sensing, I got to get back up there. He kept telling them, hey guys, it's better for you that I get up there. Because when I get up there, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. If I go away, I'm going to send him. If I don't go, I don't send. He was yearning to get his spirit into them. I will do it. Everybody, let's set our clocks back. Mark chapter 16, let me just read this. Verse 19. 16, verse 19 and 20. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. The Lord working with them. Intimately involved with them. What did they do? They went forth preaching. They didn't go forth getting sidelined in everything the church seems to get sidelined in. He spoke to them his last words before going up, going, guys, I got to get up there on that throne. But I want you to go preach the gospel to all creatures. Preach to those that will be saved. Preach to those that will be damned. Preach, preach, preach. And then he was taken up. If we keep that before us, then all the other things of Christendom work better. Amen? Read what he said before he left. And that, let that be the cornerstone. Acts 1. Oh, it's bad. Jesus, help me do this. Verse 9. And I'm just giving you a little outline. You can study this out later. Amen? I got to get to Carvery. Verse 9. Sorry. When he had spoken, I like that. When he had spoken, and every one of us will stand before him, and he'll say, I spoke. Especially us leaders. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud of glory received him out of their sight. You know that cloud's waiting for you? When you breathe that last breath, woo, I can't wait. I can't wait. All of a sudden, man, there's an angel and glory. Whew, I'm out of here. Goodbye, planet. Now, I ain't depressed. I love life, love my wife, my kids, and the dog I just bought. You know a dog's only for Christmas. Why, they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, those are angels. And those are the two angels that when he walked into Abraham's camp, two angels with him. And then they just slipped off and went over and called down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. These guys, they're not like, you know, they got something, some authority working in them. And then when Jesus rises from the dead, there's two angels sitting inside the tomb. It seems like there's two angels that just hang out with Jesus. And those two angels, when you read the Greek, they were familiar to the crowd. They didn't just appear. They had been standing there. But everybody's eyes are on Jesus. And everybody's looking like this. And guess what? We see the first role of angelic ministry after Jesus goes up. It's, hey guys, you forgot what he said. Jerusalem. Thank God. I need help. So he went up. He sat there. Hebrews, real quick, and literally, I will have this out of the way. And this is so good. Hebrews 8.
Now, of the things which we have spoken, verse 1, this is the sum, meaning let me make it simple. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty of heavens. Now watch this. A minister. A minister. Listen, Jesus is still the minister. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. Man had nothing to do with this. So the Lord, he said, I can't wait to get up to heaven. I can't wait to be clothed. I'm a man. I'm God. I want to be clothed back with yourself. And he's a minister. Now you're not ready for the last part, but I'm going to give it to you. Put your seatbelt on. Revelation chapter 19. This is going to, Sunday lunch, you're going to be talking. 19 verse 5. I preach better with Clive's glasses. Verse 5, are you ready? And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God. O you servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Jesus, our minister, gets up off the throne in that presence and glory and steps out and begins to preach and says, praise our God. Oh, you servants. He's not just talking about people. In the throne room, there's over 100 million plus millions of angels and a sea of the redeemed. And verse 6, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude. And the voice, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty, omnipotent reigns. As soon as Jesus gets up there, he's sitting there and he just can't contain himself. He's like, nah, I think it's time we get some praise going on in heaven. He steps out, the Word made flesh, and begins to command, praise our God. And the glory hits, boom. And all of a sudden, the multitudes began to glorify God like the sound of thunder.
Come on. Yeah. Right. Come
on. And let me tell you something. And it hits the earth. What's heaven like? You're seeing a part of it right now. What's heaven like? Jesus is our minister. When you've been praying and you need a breakthrough, don't give up. Keep plugged in, because there's a time where he steps out and releases that word and boom. And as long as you don't grow weary, you can tap into that glory flow and let it come in and drive the devil out of your house. Drive the devil out of your finances. Drive the confusion. Drive the rebellion out. Honey, if you don't give up and you stay before that throne, that minister knows what you need. The devil ain't God. He's a liar. If you let him, he'll run you over. That went over. I just sat down with you. Well, that went over, didn't it?
Come on.
We've got a minister right there in the glory of the eternities. He knows what you need. And he's so excited when he meets your need and all of a sudden you begin to praise the Father. Stand on your feet. What happened this morning in here? We were tapping into that throne room. We were tapping into the Lord, stepping out, speaking to the multitudes in heaven. And that glory of the Holy Spirit, boom, boom, boom. Bible says this when angels began to say, holy, all of heaven, that the foundations begin to shake. The psalmist said in chapter 99 of Psalms, even the earth shakes, trembles. What happens at that throne has an effect on this earth. That's why we need to stay before it. We can stay before it. We can stay before it. We can stay before it. Hallelujah. Jesus couldn't wait to get back. He came, he saw, he conquered, couldn't wait to get back. Why? Get his spirit in you. Get the rumblings of God in you. Oh, I haven't felt any rumblings lately. That's all right. You get in the right place. Get into the right place. Get in the right place. Let these verses of the Bible stir in you a little bit. Because he did it for you. This was all done for you. A rumbly in your tumbly for you. Get that spirit moving for you. Amen. Let's raise our hands. Let's pray as a church this morning. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. For the mighty plan of God that you gave for me. Jesus, thank you. You're my minister. And I receive healing, deliverance, peace, and joy in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your angels that surround my life and protect me. Thank you for Christmas when you gave your son. We are so thankful. We're so thankful. 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 I want to pray for somebody this morning. Person, I love their heart. Sarah, can I pray for you right now? Is that all right? That's all I'm going to say. Come on down. Sarah's a world changer. Just when you stand there, just raise your hands. Spirit of God's going to come on you. I like people that are world changers, willing to go for it. Amen. Raise your hands. Heavenly Father, I'm asking for an increase of grace for the places that she goes. And Lord, I'm asking for a gift of faith, a gift of the Holy Spirit, for supernatural deliverance and protection and provision. Right there. Nice catch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pastor Clive, thank you very much. Is that my hand? Okay. You know, this morning, I was sent to this nation to let people know, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only son. It's all you need to hear. It's that simple. This morning, there are people here. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus did not die to create religion. He died to save man. Maybe you've come today and you've been backslidden. You've been walking away. Some coldness has come into your life and Jesus is no longer that burning flame of, that's my Lord and Savior. I'm sent here today for you. Because just as I tuned into that TV program, it didn't make sense, but the Holy Spirit was on it, and he was working. With every head bowed and eye closed in this place, I want you thinking about your heart. Maybe you say, well, I'm new to this. Well, Jesus says you're not new to him.
And you need to trust him. And today's the day. You just need to take that step and trust him. If you've come here today and you say, hey, preacher, would you pray for me? I want to make Jesus Christ today my Lord and Savior. I can't promise you tomorrow that you're going to hear this. But right now you're hearing it. You're hearing it today. You're not promised the tomorrow. You're promised right now. God has made sure that you're here and that you're hearing it. If you're here and you say, hey, preacher, pray for me. I need to rededicate my life. You're not promised tomorrow. You're promised today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Is there anybody here? Anybody here? You're saying, hey, I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand, friend. What I want to do is I'm just going to lead you right now as a corporate prayer. We're all going to pray. Because I feel that in here there's some people. Listen to me. Listen to me real strong. I want you to look at this preacher. Praying a prayer won't save you. You're not saved until you want to be saved. A prayer is how we connect with God, but it's not what does it. It's your heart wanting. And God says, if you want it, I give it. If you believe, you will receive. But listen, there's some people here, you're messing around. You're playing games. You're distracted by other things. And I want you to pray this prayer, and I want you to pray it with fervency. And you may have to come down to the altar and just spend time quietly on your own before God until the distractions burn out. We can pray for you. We want to do that. But ultimately, in my own life, it's when I got on my own knees and determined this breaks. You have one life to live. Last night I said, Lord, I felt like I lived life. I could have missed that many opportunities ago by being distracted. Friend, the Spirit of God spoke to me that many of his laborers are distracted. They're entangled. We're going to give that altar call right now too. Their focus is on other things, and they're of no use to my kingdom. I love them. They're my children, but they're not serving me. They've become entangled. Finances. The enemy uses finances to entangle the servants of God. You want to serve God, but somehow there's a financial entanglement. And you can't go and do what God told you to go and do because of that entanglement. That needs to be broken today. Health entanglements. I want to serve God, but it just seems like I can't get through this infirmity that keeps coming back at me. You're a servant. You're called to serve. And guess what? Get mad at that thing. Because Jesus did bear it, and that's going to break today. So what I'm going to do, this altar is going to be full in a second. May I have a, Chad, wherever he is. Shihalamasoko. Yeah, we'll do that right now. Yeah, it's going to be quick and it's going to be hot. If that's you, if your focus is off, something's holding you back. If you're not born again, you come down too. Because it's going to hit and the Holy Ghost is going to do some wonderful things down here. But this place is on fire right now for you. It's called grace. When the minister in heaven steps out and begins to orchestrate something, receive it. This isn't happening at home for you today. You're here. You're here on purpose. Your focus has been out of whack. And he needs you focused. Right here. Don't even sit there and think anymore. You just get down here. You just get down here. Come. Come, the fire of God is down here. Things are going to change for you. Why? They're changing as you step. Right now, those things are changing. Keep coming towards the middle. Come close to the middle, guys. Come on, just pile in over here. I'm not laying hands on everybody. You just get down here, scrunch up, munch up, whatever. It's time for those things to be broken. Why? It's one thing to say, you know, we're the servants of God, but if you're not in a position to serve, you won't bear the fruit. You won't bear the fruit. You won't bear the fruit. The winds of God's Spirit are blowing through the nations.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Moses got to the Red Sea with two mountains on each side. God said, Moses, Pharaoh thinks you're entangled. And it looks like that in the natural. But I'm going to blow. I'm sending a wind. And that wind is going to cut a path. And the entanglement is going to be broken. And you're going to go on dry ground. Let me tell you something. I love being a servant of God. I love being a child of God and the benefits, but I love being a servant. I don't know. There's just something special about it. Pastor's been a servant all these years. He knows. Clive's a servant. He knows that wonderful, what it's like to be a servant and to know I'm in the hands of the Lord. This is not the hour to be distracted. It's the hour to be attracted to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, you know what we're going to do? I want you to look at me right now. I want you to put those eyes on me right now. Because it's, I don't know what you've been into. I don't know where you've been. But that's changing today. Put your eyes on me right now. Like Peter and John. He looked at him with expectation. Why? Because things were going to change. It's time to walk free. You're going to have the power and the strength to do it. You're going to have the power and the strength to call in the finances, to get out of the mess. The angels will work with you. To declare to your body, I'm healed. So I don't want, it's easy to pray with a somberness. That's not what we're going to pray with. We're going to release faith because Jesus is doing this because he's going to do something. And if you stay in somberness, you may not get it because you're staying in your ability. And that's what got you here. Your ability to do rebellion and your ability to try to do it for him. They both get you in a mess. It's just walking with him, knowing him and loving him. Amen? Raise up your hands. Now I'm going to pray for you first. Then we're going to pray together. Whew. Hallelujah. I'm praying for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift to you the servants of Almighty God. For your word declares, praise ye the Lord, all ye servants of God. Father, we are your servants. I'm asking for a wind of God to blow into the lives of these. I take authority in the name of Jesus, our minister. I break every entanglement. I command focus, come back, healing to spiritual eyes. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind your kingdom. Loose the servants of Jehovah. I release healing and deliverance. Bodies be healed. Minds be delivered. Strength enter into your knees and your legs, that the lame shall walk. Now let's pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm your servant, and I receive forgiveness. Because I ask it. I'm sorry. But today, with faith and the grace of Jesus, I turn my back and I walk with you. Thank you for your strength and your love and your tender mercies. Jesus, you are Lord, and I do believe that you died, you were raised, you're alive. Be my Lord, my Savior, my friend, For I am your servant. And I'm so thankful. Father, bless Kingdom Faith. I pray for this mighty work of God, that its days coming shall be stronger than the days before. And there is great comfort, that this work shall continue to blaze forward. It shall. Any adjustments that need to be made, let them be made. Any additions that need to be made, let them come. Let them come! Ha! Shila kalabashikaya. I'll just get quiet. Raise your hands. Fresh anointing. Let him anoint his servants. Everybody in this room, raise your hands. Father, a fresh anointing upon these. That even as they drive home and as they sit at the table, that they will sense your presence and they'll go, hey, Jesus did something in me. And I'm so thankful. So thankful. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name.
Jesus. Thank you, Father. You know, this week we want to continue to cultivate the presence of God in our lives, in our own personal lives, in our homes. You know, spend time in the presence of God, worshiping Him. Spend time as a family, if you're in that kind of situation, to spend time worshiping, praying together. But because we want more and more to be a place of habitation, not just a visit. We're not looking for a visit from God every Sunday or a visit every now and then. Our lives are to be a habitation, a dwelling place. Then when we come together, what can God do? You know, when we come already as a habitation, people who love to develop the presence of God in our lives and in our homes, in our everyday situation, when we come together, then it's awesome, isn't it? So this is going to be a great week. Amen. Victory in Prayer Wednesday night. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be powerful. Unlocking God's purposes, His heart, what He wants to do in lives and situations, whether locally or on a wider scale. So that's 7:30 here Wednesday. Let's thank Eric, shall we, for bringing the word this morning, for being with us. It's great. Bless you, mate.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.